how Satan communicates in policy of evil, how he fosters that upon mankind. The best place to start, Genesis chapter 2, well, let's start at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And God gave names to all the cattle and so forth. I can skip the rest of that. Let's jump down to chapter 3 now, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that thou eatest thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, let me start out by saying that Satan's ability to advance his doctrine first and foremost came with the conditions that existed when God created man, a new thing by the way, and placed man in the earth and gave man and entrusted to man the government of the earth. But in that, there was a situation where there was interaction or communication between this new world that God had created, this new species of humanity, or this, well, let me say this new creation. Humanity was a new creation, let me say it that way. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them a little lower than the angels. And they were clearly a creation that was unique and distinct from the creation of angels and seraphims and cherubims and so forth. A whole different order altogether. But at the time of the creation of man, there was the openness between the spirit world and this new creation. There was this openness. And there was this open interaction, this open communication, this direct communication between the spirit world and the world that God, this new order of life that God had created. And it is at this time that Satan fosters his policy of evil upon the human race. and remembering at the time Satan encounters Adam and Eve, he's not developing his policy of evil. He has a policy of evil, and he is perpetrating that policy of evil upon this new or this new creation. He has the ability and the capacity to interact directly with humanity. Now, it is my belief that this interaction between the spirit world, I call Satan and the world that they exist in, the spirit world and the world that we live in, physical, material, that kind of thing. But now, when I talk about the spirit world, it doesn't mean that there aren't any real substance in the spirit world. It's just the spirit world is of a different order, a different nature than the world that you and I are, that you and I live in. You remember after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, shut doors was not an obstacle. You know, transporting himself from earth into the very presence of God the Father was not an obstacle. You see, you remember he says, touch me, feel me, see, you know, flesh and bones. It's a real world. It's life on a different plane, life on a different order, life of a different nature than the one that you and I are part of, but real nonetheless. So when I use the term spirit world, I am by no means talking about some nebulous, you know, just some mystical idea. I'm talking about a real world, real things, real beings, real places, things to do, things, you know, real communication. They could talk, they can speak, and so forth. If that world was, you remember, I'll give you another illustration. Remember Elijah, and you remember Obadiah coming, and he was fearful seeing all the king's army surrounding Elijah. And Elijah asked the Lord to open the eyes of Obadiah that he might see the host of the Lord, the army of the Lord, that had had the king's army surrounded. And remembering throughout the Old Testament, there are moments where God, let's say it this way, God allowed the angels to cross over, you know, that spirit world. He allows the spirit world to cross over into our realm and interact in ways that, we're not allowed to, say, enter into their world and interact with them. Okay? Now, going back to Genesis 3, where Satan fosters his policy of evil upon the human race, he does that with Adam and Eve. You heard the saying how that God converted half the human race, and then the half that he converted went out and converted the other half. And hence, subjecting the whole world to the wicked one, to Satan. Both Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, became subject to the God of this world. But the policy of evil had already been instituted amongst humanity. And with that sin nature, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, there became a kinship and a bond between the soul of man and the environment in which he lived, the world in which he lived. There became a bond. You remember how the psalmist says, My soul is bowed down to the dust of the earth. There became a bond, a tie, a connection between man's flesh and man's soul, man's spirit. And this connection or his kinship with the world became the dominant force in his life. And it lent itself more to Satan. In other words, it corresponded, and I'm at a loss for the word I want to use here, but it was more, it cooperated more, this bond between the flesh, the soul, and the body made it more susceptible to Satan's policy of evil than to the things of God. Okay? And this explains why we need a new nature. This explains why there has to be an act of a new creation. Colossians 2, about this circumcision, this spiritual circumcision. What this spiritual circumcision does is separates, cuts away the flesh, this spiritual union between the flesh, the soul and the flesh. Remember, Paul talks about sin dwelleth in the flesh, that in me dwelleth no good thing. And so that's why the spiritual circumcision is a doctrine taught in the Word of God, and it has to do with a cutting away, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, as the verse says, by the circumcision of Christ. But it is a cutting away of the flesh from the soul, and that union in a lost man that exists between the soul and the flesh, between the soul and the body, is broken. And for the first time in your life, you're truly free. This also explains why the issue is being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because the spirit, or the mindset you already have as a lost man, is in tune with Satan's policy of evil. It cannot be subject to the things of God. They that are carnally minded cannot please God. And hence, the issue of being spiritually minded, the issue of being renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is the importance of having Christ formed in you, that is, letting the words of Christ dwell in you richly, taking the doctrine of God. Here's my point. Satan's policy of evil from the beginning was instituted in and amongst mankind, and does not require Satan's, or the interaction between Satan directly today, in order for his policy of evil to be perpetrated. Okay. Now, this may not explain everything about this subject, but I am convinced, especially in the dispensation of grace, there is no open, direct interaction or communication between the world that you and I live in and the spirit world. That Satan's policy of evil is already instituted in and amongst mankind, and does not require him, the way you discern a spirit that is anti-God or anti-Christ is by it not lining up with the doctrine that God has given you to believe. And whatever view, whatever thought, whatever idea that is ever communicated, that is ever advanced, that is contrary or exalts itself against God and against the knowledge of God is of Satan. But it does not require Satan, it does not require demons to interact with you directly in order for that to be true, in order for that to be real, that Satan's policy of evil. Satan's policy of evil, again, was instituted in the first encounter between this new creation of humanity, Adam and Eve, in the garden. And once that was done, humanity became subject. The whole of humanity lieth in the wicked one at that time. And except for the things that God did, you know, to advance His own purpose and will through doctrine, through His Word, mankind had, you know, had nothing but Satan's policy of evil to function in the light of and operate on the basis of. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and that's what I want you to see, for God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Here's the point. Humanity, when Adam and Eve fell, thrust humanity into darkness. And it became the mindset, the mentality of mankind. There's a verse in Ephesians 4. Keep your place there in 2 Corinthians 4. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, now notice, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being, by the way, having the understanding darkened was something that took place in the Garden of Eden. And, again, did not and does not require the direct interaction or the communication between the spirit world and the world that you and I now are exposed to. Now, there are situations where God allows the angels or beings from the spirit world to cross over into our world. But those are, as one would study out, would be unique situations. They would not be the rule. They would not be the standard. My point is, it does not require, in order for Satan's policy of evil to be advanced and further, does not require the direct interaction or communication between Satan and humanity. Again, having the understanding darkened, that was something that had already taken place. That was something that the world were already in subjection to, the God of this world, Satan. And he's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2. That's a spirit, that's a mindset, that's a viewpoint that permeates humanity. and does not require, again I say, the direct and open communication between Satan and demons as such. And the, you know, at the times where Satan is interacting or allowed to cross over into this world, there is not so much this communication, this direct communication between Satan and mankind, but rather his mindset already being established in and amongst humanity finds its different levels of manifestation, its sophistication, and its and how it is manifested in humanity, in the mindset or in the thinking or in the ideas or in the imaginations of men who are in tune with the world, who are in tune with Satan's policy, that are in tune with Satan's policy of evil. But going back to 2 Corinthians 4, my point to you, you see God's counter to that is the preaching of the gospel. It's God's advancing his doctrine, his viewpoint. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. You see, as a believer, it doesn't do you any good to continue to operate and function on the basis of human viewpoint. To do that is not to avail yourself of being set free. To continue to operate on the basis of human wisdom, human viewpoint, human philosophy, thoughts and ideas that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, is just to continue in subjection to the God of this world. But it does not, I say again, require or calls for the direct communication or interaction between man and the spirit world, the satanic forces of evil. Mankind is already in subjection. When a person gets saved by believing the gospel of Christ, believing he's the sinner for whom Christ died, recognizing there's nothing he can do in and of himself to please God, that it took what Christ did to please God and what Christ did alone. And that when we put our faith and our trust in Christ, accept what he did as making us right with God, and upon doing that, God gives us his righteousness, gives us a perfect acceptance with him that moment, that instant. That we pass from death unto life. We receive the Holy Spirit of God. That enables us to take the doctrine of God and to build that in the mentality of our soul, and it become the frame of reference out of which we function and operate. And that's how God's view, that's how God's life is advanced in the details of our life. Again, making it clear why we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that is not some nebulous thing. It is taking the doctrine of God and building it into the mentality of our soul. We become rooted and grounded in the doctrine of God. And that is what transforms us. That is what changes us. And that is the issue. That is the issue in a believer's life. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. When the first issue in you is getting saved, but that's just the beginning. Then the issue becomes not works, not your activity, you doing something, but your walk, your behavior, your conduct. And that's an area that is transformed not in the energy of your own flesh, not in the energy of your own doing, but rather by taking in the doctrine of God. And as you allow the words of Christ to dwell in you richly, the transformation there takes place thereby. And so it's not an issue, it's not you trying, it's you being. And there's a big difference in being and trying. And the exhortation by the Apostle Paul is always be, not try. And the only way you get away from trying is you allow the words of Christ to dwell in you richly. It's a walk of faith. You take the doctrine, you build it up into the mentality of your soul, you believe it. And as Philippians 2:13 says, it is God which worketh in you, both to will, the wanting to do, and both to will and to do, and the actual doing is God. As Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, it's not I, but Christ. That's why Paul said to the Galatians, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And that's the issue. And so as we are rooted and grounded in the faith, as we are taught, it is that doctrine, when believed, works effectually and transforms us into the very image of Christ himself. And that's how God's will is advanced. So when he says back in 2 Corinthians 4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believed not, Satan's policy of evil was already instituted among mankind in the Garden of Eden. And that doctrine and its varied forms is constantly and continuously from that time forward been advanced, preached and taught. And it took God to intervene in that situation and to advance his purpose, his will. And that's where you have the battle, but you know, in the mind between God's program and Satan's program, and it's in the realm of the doctrine. And that's why all throughout the scriptures the issue is the doctrine. Remember what Paul says, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and the doctrine. He talks about that, you know, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These are strongholds that already exist in and amongst humanity. Satan is not trying to establish a stronghold. He has a stronghold upon humanity already, established back in the Garden of Eden. Again, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And here's the issue for you and I today, to escape Satan's policy of evil, not to be snared by the devil. When we talk about being snared by the devil, we're not talking about a direct and open communication between you and Satan, but rather his doctrine that already permeates humanity, That's how you're, when God has set you free, and God has given you, as Paul says, we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That means you as a believer getting saved is just the beginning. It's not the end. You have to be taught. You have to learn some things. There has to come to a point in your life where you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you operate in the light of that knowledge, you're set, you're delivered. You're delivered from the snare of Satan. You're delivered from Satan's policy of evil. But the moment you cease to walk according to the gospel, when you cease to walk according to the, to let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, you then are guided and governed or come under the influence once again of Satan and his policy of evil. But that does not require or cause for demon possession. It does not require for direct or open communication between the spirit world and the world that you and I live in. It doesn't call for that. All of this is done in the realm of doctrine. Okay? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And notice, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Can I tell you, it is absolutely not safe, it is not a good thing to trust human viewpoint, not one iota. It's amazing to me as I read and I study the scriptures that it becomes more and more clear to me that you and I are to be absolutely shut up to the Word of God, rightly divided for our understanding and for the change in our behavior and our walk. Where anything that we would express, any idea, any view that we would communicate would be exclusively that of God. To communicate or to express any viewpoint other than God's viewpoint is just simply to succumb to Satan's subtleness and craftiness. You know, to be duped and to advocating Satan's policy of evil. Now, I know I've said a lot. I'm going to stop because I want to give you time for question and answers before I have to go. I know I've only scratched the surface of this subject, but I hope I shed some light and I've given you something to chew on that would be helpful in diffusing the confusion that exists on this subject about how Satan advances his policy of evil in the world period, but especially in the dispensation of grace. There is absolutely no activity of the nature and of the order that we find recorded for us in the Gospels that those things just simply are not the order of the day in which you and I live in. And knowing and understanding the dispensation of the grace of God makes that abundantly clear. And so I am not fearful, nor am I concerned, quote unquote, about demonic activity of the nature and of the order as presented in the Gospels. But because that's where most people's thinking are today, they have left themselves totally exposed to being snared by Satan because of the fact that the issue is bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And the only way you can do that is to subject yourself to the doctrines of the dispensation of the grace of God. All right. Questions, comments, or answers or further light on this subject would be appreciated. Raise your hand, come up to the mic, and let us hear you. And thanks for listening. First Timothy 4:1. No, that's defines the world that you and I now live in. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But seducing spirits and doctrines of devils is just simply the activity of men advocating Satan's policy of evil. When he says some in the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Not that there's going to be any increase or let me say it this way, that we're going to be exposed to demonic, between activity between the spirit world and the world that you and I live in. No, it's not going to be that kind of direct activity. But rather, the increase is just going to come from men who become more active in the communication of Satan's policy of evil through the realm of doctrine. The best way to think of 1 Timothy 4:1 is in the light of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4, but particularly chapter 4, where he talks about the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. That's 1 Timothy 4:1. Again, thank you all for patiently listening. Are there any other questions or any comments?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, as God went into his mystery program, do you believe Satan also went into a mystery program?
No. Satan is just, and let me just put it this way. His policy of evil, in other words, Satan, in the dispensation of grace, is not so much what Satan did as what God did and what God allows. And what God is not allowing is the kind of engaging or any activity of the nature and the order that you find presented in the Gospels or in the book of Acts. That kind of exposure, that kind of openness between, again, the demonic activity, Satan's activity, and men today does not exist. And God, because God, the nature of the dispensation of grace, the nature of what God is doing, governs what, in all honesty, governs and dictates what Satan is able to do or allowed to do.